who's a top pairing guy. He's a power play guy. I think that's why most teams have explored the interest in Bo Byram. And this is where, again, and I you know, he's a restricted free agent. He's not an unrestricted free agent, but Darren Ferris is the agent here. You know, he doesn't mind spinning the Ferris wheel, and he does it with a lot of his guys. And he's looking at it. He's, all right, well, you know, Byram's 2 years away from unrestricted free agency. He has arbitration rights. If he goes to ARB and you have him for one more year, I'm sure the message to Kevin Adams is you lose your leverage.
Talk about low-hanging fruit.
The Ferris wheel. That from Darren Dreger, which the arbitration is a way that you can end up at. Like, I don't know how it works exactly when it comes to arbitration, but he's still only a UFA in 2 years.
Okay.
But it has happened before. Mark Stone, infamously, with Ottawa, they go to arbitration with him, and suddenly he's only 1 year to UFA. So a ruling could change things. It's not very common, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's capable of happening here with Byram. But, Joe, last segment, you had asked about how do you feel about the Buffalo Bills? Are they better than they were last year? And I think that my answer was relatively the same. And I'm pretty sure that's where you got yourself to as well.
Yeah, if not a smidge better, more confidence in the wide receiver room than going into last year with Mac Hollins and those guys we had.
Exactly. So now, though, with that question to ask about the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah.
And how things look on the roster as of right now. There is a question that has to be asked. Are they currently better than they were last year in terms of roster makeup and construction?
No. You have a flaming hole still sitting there in J.J. Paterka that has not been filled. That's where I lose it. Yes, defensively you have gotten better, but you have not replaced J.J. Paterka by any means. And I get it. Paterka wasn't crazy good.
He was still a good player. He was a
very good player. You need to replace him with
had
another good player.
As many points as the top free agent in the class.
Yeah. Yeah. But you need to replace him with another player of that caliber to be at the same level, in my opinion. Or multiple players to kind of fill in that void.
Now, ready?
That trade?
Say the ideal happens with St. Louis.
Okay.
Like, the idea I come up with of Neighbors and Justin Falk coming back. Okay? What does that change? Is Neighbors guaranteed a top six spot?
I don't know.
Holloway would be. But, for example, if that's the return, if it's Neighbors and Falk, for example, does that really fix a lot? Does that really make things better? So I'm going to look at the roster as is right now. You keep Byram into the season.
Okay.
Okay? Let's go over what line projections probably would look like. Top line, you're probably looking at, and I'm sorry for everybody's ears. Probably looking at Josh Norris centering Tage Thompson, and I would imagine Jack Quinn.
Yeah.
If it's not Norris on the top line, it's Kulik because he played really well with Thompson last year.
He did. Those two played really well together.
They played really well together.
I think I'd feel better with Kulik just starting in the top line. You know, we haven't seen Norris to his full potential because of injury, but
you could work with what's working, which is Kulik worked with Thompson really well last year.
It's kind of like if you keep Byram, it's a similar premise to playing with Dahlin, what works.
But I also have zero problem putting Kulik on a line with Alex Tuck and Jason Zucker. Zero problems with that. I have no reservations. So your top six probably, as of right now, based on what Quinn got paid, they might have visions of this being a bridge deal where he gets back and finds his form.
I could see that.
And that's the thing, is that Jack Quinn did kind of find his form a little bit toward the end of last year.
Finally.
Considering how his season started, how dreadful he was.
It was bad.
He finished the year with 39 points in 74 games. That's half a point a game. How?
He turned and burned at one point in the season. That's what happened.
That he did have himself a really hot area near the deadline. Maybe he becomes a sellable asset sort of thing. But he started ice cold to begin the year. So Quinn's probably in your top six as of right now. With Kulik, Thompson, Zucker, Norris, Tuck. Put them in the order or the combinations, however you want them. But that's your top six. As of right now. I might even say, Isaac Rosane, here's your chance to try to beat out Jack Quinn for a left wing spot.
That could be interesting.
Your bottom six looks like this. And you're probably going to sound a lot more comfortable about this.
Okay.
Benson, McLeod, Doan, Greenway, Krebs, Malenstein.
That is...
Rearrange it however you need to. But that's probably what the bottom six looks like.
Yeah.
With the idea of Justin Danforth or Tyler Kozak.
I do feel more comfortable about the bottom six. But to me, the toughest part, and I know we were talking about hypotheticals with the Blues, everything like that.
Tyson Kozak. I don't know why I said Tyler.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even notice. Myself. I heard Ty Kozak, and that's all I heard.
So I actually I stopped myself, and I got mad for a moment. So Kozak's probably a player rotating in. He's probably 13th forward right now. I do think that he's earned it. But Danforth and Kozak probably are your guys rotating in there. Seeing if Oslin finds a way into his way, trying to find a third line spot, for example.
Yeah. It's tough for me to look at this.
But your bottom six you look at and you go, I think this is fine.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But the top six is where I struggle. And not because of just the J.J. Paterka hole. But in general, the discourse we had last year was Thompson's a star. The rest of the guys they're good. They're goal scorers. We have a lot of goal scorers. We don't have a superstar in the top six right now.
I would say Thompson probably threatens that.
He threatens it at this point, but we don't have a bonafide, I don't know what the right way to say that is, superstar. And I get it. You weren't going to get Mitch Marner here. He was going to play in Vegas because they're a cup contender. They're going to, especially now, make a run.
But also Vegas did their diligence of, we're going to make sure that he doesn't even hit the open market.
Yeah, and they just do that, though. They sell all their futures away and prospects away
didn't have to here. It was Nicolas Waugh.
Oh, right, yeah. But I'm saying in general, that's just how they operate.
But they are an aggressive team, yes.
They're very aggressive and just get guys who can play now. They don't deal with the draft picks, the futures, anything like that. They sell all their draft picks away. But the Sabres, we had the number one prospect pool in the NHL a couple years ago. The prospect pool has diminished quite a bit, right? Cousins is gone. The kid line is no more. I don't know. I think you needed a bigger move than what you got from Paterka.
And again, we're not done yet because Byram is still the piece there. But now, ready? Say they have Byram starting into the season, right? Your defensive core looks like this. Dahlin, Byram, trade pending. Power, Kesserling. Samuelson, Connor Timmins. Jacob Bryson, Zach Jones, Ryan Johnson, all working to try to be your seventh defenseman. I feel a lot better about that.
Yeah. The defense is definitely, that's my strongest part of this period we are in right now. After free agency, after the draft, especially seeing in the draft, and we were talking about this during our draft coverage a couple weeks ago now, or was that last week? That might have been last week. Just how right shot defensemen were coming down the pipeline. They're big. The defense is their strongest part right now, I would say. Especially with Byram still on the team, being able to place him with Dahlin, like we've said. It's the top six for me. That's it. But I think they're better than last season?
Ready? Even goaltender now.
I like Alex Lyon. Lukanen, I do like
Alex
that.
Alex Lyon and Devin Levi.
Is Levi staying in Rochester now? Is that what's going to happen?
That signing tells me that he's starting in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the proper way to go.
We talked about that with Paul, too. He should stay probably another year.
And he should stay another year. But the thing is that Alex Lyon is a good enough goaltender that will help keep him down. Unless there's injury. That's the only reason you call up Levi at this point is for injury.
Yeah.
But you let him be the guy in Rochester. You let him start there. You let him finish there. And you let a couple of kids battle it out to be his backup. Tobias Leonen, Scott Ratzlaff. See if one of them can latch on as the backup in Rochester.
Yeah. The goaltending, though, the Alex Lyon signing, I'm happy about. Do you think he has... Okay. The consensus is he's not a starter, right? Like, that's kind of what I've seen. Like, he's played top NHL minutes before in net, but Lukanen would still be our number one.
Lyon's a spot starter.
Okay.
A guy that you can give a couple of games in a row, and he can at least try to hold the tide over for you. He's a guy that you could rely on as a backup goaltender to be the guy to help kind of keep things going for you.
He was with the Panthers for a good stretch, right?
But that's also, it was the last 2 years with the Red Wings. He only has 1 year with Florida.
1 year with Florida, that's right.
But it was really good.
That was the year they lost in the Stanley Cup final, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
But he helps them get to the playoffs.
I remember that.
Playoff Bob does not exist without Alex Lyon's work.
You're absolutely
including
right.
Including against Buffalo.
Yeah, because that was the 1 point out year.
Yes.
That's right.
But with the Red Wings, 44 and 30 are the games played. Better 2 years ago than last year, obviously. It's going to be, in terms of save percentage, better. But in terms of goals against average, last year was actually better. He did play less games, though. He did have an injury. It's a good value for a player that you could probably get something decent out of him here. For the longest time, he was trying to get through the Flyer system. You know, before Carter Hart was removed from the team for being a gross person. So he wouldn't really crack through, though. But it's these last 3 years that he's been a little bit more into the spotlight here of being an NHL goaltender. Could it be another Eric Comrie where it looks like a good idea and then it ultimately turns out it's not? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe then there can be changes to the coaching staff if every goalie that comes in here plays worse.
If it's a declining thing. I don't know. Eric Comrie, you're right, though, did seem like a good deal when he first came around and then just fell flat on his face in Buffalo. I hope Alex Lyon works out, though, because I really would like to see Levi really take another season in Rochester. I think that would be huge for him. So, with Levi, I don't know how you feel. He entered, not cocky, I don't know what the right word is. Like, he was the best goaltender in college hockey, right? Without a question.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in with that chip on your shoulder... There's a big jump to NHL talent, and you know that more than anybody. Like, there's a huge jump.
Yeah.
I don't think he was ready for it, and I think he thought he was ready for it. And we kind of saw that confidence bite him in the butt a little bit.
Right.
To where now, I don't want to say humbled, because he really wasn't that – he wasn't a problem. He wasn't like Jack Eichel. You know what I'm saying? Like,
not create something that's not there.
Oh, I'm not trying to. I'm just saying, like, the Rochester just coming up through the ranks is better off than just throw
it
right
into
the NHL.
It was probably better to start him out in Rochester all along.
Yeah.
I look at Dustin Wolf in Calgary.
But that's like, I think that was Adams kind of wanting to see his goalie prospect just enter right in and go.
Yes.
Kind of a deal. I think that's the only reason he was in the NHL in general and not starting in the AHL.
Well, also it was, you wanted to see what you got, but also when Levi stepped in here in the midst of a playoff push, he played well.
He did. It wasn't until...
It's actually been his best tenure as a Sabre.
Yeah.
Was the playoff push to end the year.
Yeah.
Ironically enough.
The season after is where he kind of faltered.
So you can tell there's like ice in his veins type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Also because their goaltending was bad.
That was that he was a shining spot in a bad goaltending area. That
three seasons ago is the we'll beat you 7-6.
Yeah. Well, offense. Nothing.
And Levi looked like the best of all three of them that year because, well, that team was incredibly ice tilty in terms of let's go get the goals. We've got to beat you. You can score four on us, but we're going to punch you in the mouth for five.
It sounds like they're going back to a different, like, they're going away from the offensive scoring, though. Just the way they drafted, the way they, you know, the trade return.
It does seem like it, and the thing about that is that you need to have some kind of balance to it.
Right.
You don't need to overcorrect it the way that they did.
No, they went stark contrast the year after and totally blew up in their
that's
face.
That's what we call an overcorrection.
Yeah, yeah.
Don Granato. His last year here was we want to be tighter defensively, and then they just couldn't do anything.
Right, they lost all scoring.
But hey, Luukkonen was fantastic that year.
Right, he came out of nowhere. The hot and cold goalie was hot for a huge stretch. Played a majority of the games. Yeah,
whole year he was hot.
Yes, and then this past season,
what did it cost? Everything. And this past season, they get back to scoring goals again, and
Lukanen's cooler.
The goaltending helps cost you games. Say it as it is. So, ultimately, do you feel better about the Sabres right now than they were last year?
No. Until another addition is made or Byram is sent away.
I need to, and the answer to that for me is I need to know what the return is on a potential Byram trade.
Yeah.
But if they were to start the year with this as the club,
do you think?
I don't feel better or worse about them. The problem with not feeling better or worse about them is they were not a playoff team last year.
Yeah, right. You're not. There's no
when
expectation.
When I say that about the Bills, that is because they are one of the top five teams in the league regularly.
Right. They pushed for the Super Bowl. They made the AFC Championship last year.
Me saying that I'm a net neutral on the Bills means that they're going to be fine and they're great and exactly what they're supposed to be. Me saying net neutral on the Sabres
means you're not in the playoffs again.
Means you are going to year 15.
Yeah.
And I don't want that.
No.
And it's still pending what happens as per Bo Byram.
And like we've said, that could be in August. That could be in a week. That could be today. Anything.
Could be anything.
You don't know.
It could be game number 7 in the National Hockey League season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just hockey's so interesting to me how the offseason works compared to the NFL offseason, just the RFAs, the no move clauses, all that stuff. It's just really intriguing.
Your quick little programming note, Alex Brasky will join us at 1 o'clock. There was some stuff going on, a little miscommunication on my end, but we got him ready for 1 o'clock.
Awesome.
So, Alex Brasky of Bills Digest joining us at the top of the hour here. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, here with you on a beautiful, long weekend. Thanks for listening with us if you're here on WGR.